Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's a Miller Lite Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's Payne and Pendergast.
A lot of new faces. I would say how they want to play is similar to how we want to play in all areas. So, you know, in the end, it's going to come down to preparation, it's going to come down to execution. But in some respects, we're kind of playing an NFC version of the Houston Texans.
Yeah, kind of. Mirror images this weekend. Two teams that want to run the football, two teams that are not very good against the run, two teams with struggling second-year quarterbacks. That's what's going to happen on Sunday, 9 a.m., Texans Countdown, presented by Modelo. That's me and Seth. And then Texans kickoff is at noon. And then the postgame show takes you up to Sunday Night Football here on Sports Radio 610. That was Texans GM Nick Caserio with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. All right, let's start to dig into this thing on Sunday, Seth. Let's give the folks a few bullet points to watch out for. We mentioned the two quarterbacks. Let's start with Justin Fields, the struggling second-year quarterback out of Ohio State. He's only thrown the ball 28 times this year. Here was John Yurkovich, ESPN 1000 in Chicago, former teammate of one Seth Payne in Jacksonville. This is Yurko with us yesterday when Seth asked him, what is Justin Fields right now?
Oh, he's not much. I'll be honest with you. He's got a quarterback that's a one-read guy, and it's probably about, I'd say 35% of the quarterbacks that play in this league right now, they drop back. They don't know how to read a defense. They know the pressure's coming. And if that first read isn't open, then they're trying to bail out and try to make something happen on the run.
So that's Yurko. Pretty accurate scouting report. Seth, my whole thing with Justin Fields for the Texans, I don't know if the Texans are going to win this game or not. They're going to have to score points. They're going to have to score more points than they've been scoring the first 2 weeks of the season. But not many more, probably. If you keep Justin Fields in the pocket, you're going to win this football game. He's going to make mistakes. If he can't beat you with his legs, he ain't beating you with his arm. They don't let him beat you with his arm.
There's a little bit, you know, last week the Texans a couple times looked like they were subscribing to force Russell Wilson out to his left. If you make him run to his left, then he's very inefficient. The Texans dropped back and spied a couple times, or they had a three-man rush, and it didn't work out that well because Russell Wilson, even though he's not what he once was, he can still do it once as well as he ever has. So Justin Fields has never been there, and you don't want the Texans to be the guy that allows him to get there. He's not gonna hurt you with his arm, and they also don't have the same weaponry that the Broncos did. So a lot of this really comes down to don't be the team that Justin Fields gives hope. It allows Justin Fields to bring hope to Chicago.
Yes.
This is very much a game that can really, really screw up the hopes and dreams of either football team.
Yes.
That loses, because you know, if your team is the team that lets the other quarterback break out, my God, how bad are you?
The loser of this game is going to feel, the fans are going to feel like their season is basically over after 3 weeks. The loser of this game is how it's going to feel.
Well, this is also, I feel like there's more capacity, too, for there to be a complete meltdown in Chicago, because Justin Fields, after all, is a first-round draft
pick. They traded up to get him.
Yeah, he is the guy. Their hopes and dreams are intertwined with him, whereas Davis Mills is still a guy that you're hoping turns into a pleasant surprise as a third-rounder. It'll have made a lot of people correct when Rich Eisen, who had an opinion for the first time in his life, kind of, when he questioned what Nick Caserio was doing when they drafted a quarterback with their first pick in the third round. So, but it's still not the same as your first round guy. So that's a big one. And then the other part is that Justin Fields himself doesn't seem to be well equipped to handle a lot of this controversy.
No.
Because we already played a few times him talking about how the fans don't put in work. Right. And so and then his non-apology afterwards. But he also, after the first week, when somebody asked about how few times they passed, he said it's not his job to call the pass plays. A couple little passive-aggressive jabs from Justin Fields here, where I feel like it could get into almost Baker Mayfield-like territory.
Yeah, well, and you know what's funny about the pass attempts? I was listening to In the Loop on the way home yesterday, and they were playing some old Dan Orlovsky audio. You remember Orlovsky got in some, I'll call it like social media trouble when he was talking about sources he talked to that questioned Justin Fields' work ethic. He's a last one in, first one out guy. This is leading up to the draft. This is before the Bears took him. And Orlovsky caught all kinds of heat for that to the point where Ohio State coaches called Orlovsky and basically said, no, this is what we think of Justin Fields at Ohio State. And Orlovsky almost had to walk back his comments. But one of the clips they played from Orlovsky, John and Landry, yesterday was a clip from a game early in last season, Justin Fields' rookie year, where Matt Nagy, of course, was his head coach and play caller. Of course, Nagy got fired after last year. Here was Dan Orlovsky basically saying that Matt Nagy was committing malpractice with Justin Fields. Take a listen to the number of pass attempts that Orlovsky brings up in this clip right here.
The Chicago Bears should fire Matt Nagy today because yesterday's game plan, which was the worst one I've ever seen in my life, was either negligence or intentional. It's been 149 days since the Bears drafted Justin Fields. You had 149 days to start to build a game plan around the skill set of this young man, and it was an embarrassment. Justin Fields threw the ball 20 times yesterday. Yesterday, you showed us that you are incapable of designing the proper game plan around a dynamic quarterback, or you showed us that it was intentional, that you wanted him to fail, and you set him up to be a disaster.
All right, so that was Dan Orlovsky last year. I think the interesting thing about that is Orlovsky was beside himself over Justin Fields only throwing the ball 20 times in a game. It was malpractice, this game plan. He's thrown the ball 28 times through the first two games this year. They lost 27-10 to the Packers, Seth, in a game where Justin Fields threw the ball 11 times.
Yeah, yeah.
They were trailing by double digits for most of that game.
The first game versus San Francisco, there were valid excuses for both quarterbacks in that game. It was just ridiculous.
It was a monsoon.
I think there are a lot of teams that would have. It was like Buffalo last year,
yeah,
where Josh Allen looked as bad as Davis Mills was. Remember, Josh Allen in the first half was equally abysmal because it was raining like crazy.
They only went on to win 40-0.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, and once the rain let up,
you saw.
But I think it rained the entire time there in Chicago. So it made sense that they weren't throwing the ball. Last week was when things got real, where you saw, okay, wow, there's something broken here, and it's either the quarterback or it's the coach or a combination of the two. But this is not what you're hoping out of your first-round quarterback in his second season.
Yep, so that's Justin Fields in a nutshell. Davis Mills is our second point here, and he's struggling right now too. Really, since that strip sack in the Colts game, he's been struggling. He's been passing at about a 60 and change passer rating since that play. He was at 113 prior to that play.
Yeah.
This is an interesting stat from Pro Football Focus. I do like their stats. With a clean pocket, Davis Mills has an 88.3 passer rating, which is not great, but it's not horrible. It's pedestrian.
Or 88.3 grade by them, PFF grade.
Oh, is it a grade or a pass? Okay, I thought it was pass.
They have a...
Whatever
it is. So it's an 88.3.
88.3. No, I think it's passer rating. I know they do grades, but I looked it up. With a pressure pocket with chaos around him, 55.3. The bottom line is whatever the stat is, it's a huge difference right now. It's unacceptable, the difference between the two, 88.3 and you know, it's definitely passer rating, Seth. It's passer rating. So that's bad right now for Davis Mills.
Yeah, and the other thing too is that sometimes when he's under pressure because of his own doing. You did a good job. You pointed this out yesterday, because I hadn't watched the last quarter or so on the All 22 yet. But you had talked about that sack towards the end of the game when Titus Howard got, I'll say in air quotes, beat. around the end, and Davis Mills got sacked. And it looked like Davis Mills was pretty deep on that. I went back and I measured it, and yeah, he was 10 yards off the line of scrimmage. And he started off in the gun, and he drifted back. He dropped back to 9 or 10 yards, which is way, 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 way too deep. He should have never drifted back there. He could have stepped up. So Titus Howard looked frustrated after that play, and he should have been, because Titus Howard was doing what he's supposed to do. He's riding the defensive end around the pocket, and Davis Mills was just way too far back. These are the things that are concerning, in that it's one thing when you're dealing with pressure. It's another when you're creating it yourself, and it's also another thing that when you are in a pocket, when you're unaware of pressure that's coming not all that quickly or from the front side, that's what's happened with Davis Mills a few times. You could say, hey, it's good that he's keeping his eyes downfield. You know, it's better that than to get rattled, but at some point he's got to develop that peripheral vision and that kind of sixth sense for what's going around in the pocket while he has his eyes downfield.
Yeah, so that's keeping Mills clean. I mean, you can't take time for him to figure that all out. The better thing to do is just try to keep him clean. But even with a clean pocket, he's not been great. At least Seth last year, when he didn't have pressure, he was dealing in the last five games of the year. All over the field, too. His numbers throwing downfield in the last five games last season were excellent. And he just can't complete passes more than 15 yards down the field right now. It's very perplexing. Third thing, run defense on both sides for these teams. These are two bad run defenses right now. Aaron Jones ran crazy on the Bears on Sunday night. I think 15 carries for over a buck 30. I said this in my preview on the Houston Press, Seth, and I'm curious if you agree with me. I think that the narrative of the Texans' run game after week one was, why the hell is Rex Burkhead getting so many carries? I think the thought after week two was, okay, at least it's Damian Pierce getting all these carries, not Rex Burkhead. If it's anything but... Hey, if we're saying anything short of, yes, this was Damian Pierce's breakout game on Monday, if we're saying anything short of that, then I think it was a failure for the Texans this weekend.
I would stop short just because game flow has some to do with that. And there have been times, like in the second half last week, where Davis Mills hasn't been good enough on third and short and third and intermediate for me to make excuses for him. I will say some of the drives came because of penalties that made it second and 20 or really bad plays that led to it being second and 10, third and 10. So and then you end up having to pass. Like, it's not always as simple. Once you have that negative play in a series, it's real tough to say, well, we got to be sure we get Damian Pierce 25 carries in this game. So there's that. And then I mean, Damian Pierce himself is partly to blame for why he hasn't had a breakout game. He's not reading things quite as crisply as I expected him to, so he's leaving some yardage on the table, and he also doesn't have, like, true breakaway speed. So I don't know what a Damian Pierce breakout game looks like. I don't know if somebody thought that he was going to be like a Nick Chubb or something, I think they're going to be disappointed. I don't think he has all those same skills, but I think he should be a guy who more steadily churns out yardage. So is a breakout game for Damian Pierce, yeah, 100 plus yards, then certainly. If they don't do that, yes, I'd have a hard time thinking that. If they can't run, if Damian Pierce is the main guy and can't run for more than 100 yards versus the Bears, I think the Texans will have a hard time winning this game.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. Maybe this is a bit of gambling advice, too. If you're picking the Texans to win this game and you're betting on the Texans on the money line to win this game, I would throw a prop bet on over for whatever Damian Pierce's yardage is as a prop bet, because I think the two are correlated. Like, I don't think they're going to – this is not a game that whoever wins this game is going to win the game by their quarterback throwing for 290 yards. You know, I think if the Texans win this game, it's because Damian Pierce is probably carrying the ball 20, 22 times for a buck 10 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Last thing I'm interested in is just Derek Stingley. And I know that it's not a game, as I just pointed out 10 seconds ago, it's not a game that's going to be an aerial circus or anything like that. But this should be a step down in weight class, at least in terms of wide receivers. Their top wide receiver is Darnell Mooney. They've got Equanimeous St. Brown, who's been okay so far this year. They don't have great receivers, not like Denver with Cortland Sutton. So it's a step down in weight class. Justin Fields is going to probably, in his, you know, five pass attempts that they let him have, maybe throw one up for you. I'm just anxious to see Stingley did some things okay against Denver.
Yeah.
Did some things poorly against Denver. I'm just anxious to watch. He's really important to this team moving forward. I'm anxious to see if he's able to kind of bounce back and build and maybe go get his first turnover of the year.
Especially when you look at his two penalties that didn't seemingly need to be penalties. You know, he's running step for step for guys. I don't think that he, on that first defensive holding, I think he would have been just fine and still in that dude's hip pocket if he hadn't done the defensive holding. So I think that that's encouraging. Some of the other issues have been just where he's just not quite as crisp in zone coverage. So that comes a long time, too, with just time and experience. And I think, the scary thing of last week was what would it have looked like as a total if Jerry Jeudy hadn't gotten hurt?
Yes.
I give the Texans credit for being the ones who hurt Jerry Jeudy. Like, those, and Steven Nelson can come up and make some hard hits. I've been impressed with that so far. But that could have gotten ugly if Jerry Jeudy had been playing.
That's a great point. And I think similarly on the defensive side of the ball for the Broncos, we got to remember Davis Mills struggled to throw the football in a game where Patrick Surtain went out with an injury and Justin Simmons didn't play a single snap. He was injured during the week.
Yeah.
You know?
And versus the Colts. Now, everybody's got injuries every week, but versus the Colts, the new Shaquille Leonard, former Darius Leonard, was injured as well. Which, like, those are big time guys for those
Huge.
Two respective defenses.
Those are Pro Bowl, all pro guys in the secondary.
Whereas we are missing Justin Britt. Yeah. So.
Yes. Indeed. Yeah, the Texans have had good injury luck so far this year, although the tight end position might be kind of depleted. It turned out Farrell Brown's injury is a shoulder yesterday that kept him out of practice. That was.
I'm sorry I doubted your stat citing, Sean.
Oh, about Davis Mills?
I feel bad about that. I know it's been a long time since, but I still feel bad about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was like 8 minutes ago. Oh, okay.
I know.
Yeah.
It's a long time in my world.
Passer rating. When you said that, I'm like, God, I swear to God, it said passer rating when I looked at it.
I'm surprised. They're so proud of their proprietary stats that I'm surprised that they would even cite something as primitive as a passer rating.
I know. It's nice of them to kind of humble themselves by putting something in that the people like passer rating.
I never liked passer rating. Even though, like, now I know it's really fallen out of favor, it never made sense to me. It was like, if you can't put it on a scale of 0 to 100, don't bother coming to talk.
it's like feet. It's like the non-metric system
for like these comprehensive. Yeah. It's like foot and inches. Once you go metric, you can't go back.
That's right.
Like if you're gonna come up with some fancy stat, just do me a favor and put it on a scale of 0 to 100.
There you go.
It's one thing if you know real world stats like batting average or other things like that. You understand why that it's not on a scale of 0 to 100.
Yep.
But like OPS plus, they put it on a scale of like 100 is average.
Yeah.
And then you can tell how far away are you from 100?
That's easy to understand. That's easy to understand. Absolutely. Hey, we're getting you ready for Texans and Bears. We just did a little of that in this segment. Sunday afternoon in Chicago. Texans countdown, 9 a.m. It's me and Seth, presented by Modelo. Kickoff at noon, and Texans postgame follows the game here on Sports Radio 610. Up next, we'll take a look around the NFL. Mike McCarthy, watch your back. That's next.
Yeah, Bayway Chevrolet. Just realized ERA basically is on a scale of 100 anyway. Like it's in the decimal system. Like, so ERA makes sense. It's easy to understand.
There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.